Well, let us worship God in the singing of Psalm number 86. This is our psalm this morning, 86, and we sing verses 1 to 7. Now, we shall read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. We are continuing our studies in Luke's Gospel this morning and the coming of Christ and the implications of it. We read in Luke chapter 2 and from verse 21. You remember we finished off last time emphasizing that the shepherds returned and glorifying, praising God for all things that they had heard and seen concerning the birth of this child. At verse 21, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And we'll pick up the reading after the prayer. Let us pray. Our holy, gracious Father in heaven, we pray again that our voices this morning would be raised in glad adoration, and that we would be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, conscious of the privileges that have been given to us for such a time, such a place, and such a gospel. We acknowledge, Heavenly Father, that we take it so much for granted. We take our life for granted, our privileges, health and strength, family, and the culture in which we live, whereby we are enabled without fear of persecution or interruption to gather publicly to worship in the name of Christ. And we pray that we would remember that all Christians throughout the world, even to this very day, do not enjoy these good things. And there have been times in the past history of the gospel in the world when it has been so persecuted, almost to the verge of extinction, and God's people have been few in number and often fearful in spirit. And yet we rejoice, O God, that the gospel is the power and the wisdom of God. And despite all appearances and all contradictions in our lives as sinners and as saints, there is the reality of grace and the promise of glory. And there is the risen Christ with all his glorious presence promised to be with us until the end of the age. And his purpose is to build his church. And the gates of hell, of Hades and of death can never prevail against it. And we live in a time of gospel opportunity, O God. And we live in a time where open Bibles are available to all of us to read and to meditate upon, sing about and pray about it any time we choose. And we confess that so often we are negligent and lazy in our spiritual life, and we are all slow to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we confess further, O God Most High, that none of us has done all things required of us, and we have all failed in so many ways, and we are all at the last unprofitable servants. And yet these things do not jeopardize or annihilate our salvation. And it is for sinners that Christ died. And it is for sinners that he comes at the last to raise the dead in all their multitude and in all their glory to be with the Lord. All those who have died in Christ shall at the last be seen to be with him, unmistakably glorious, belonging to the Lord. And the praise on every lip shall be, it is all of grace and all of God and none of us. We have contributed our sins and our failures to the sufferings of Christ, and he has taken the guilt of all our sins and failures, and he has nailed them to the tree and taken our sins in his own body, as Peter reminds us. And in that crucifixion, our sins are blotted out, and all the handwriting of ordinances and all the charges of our criminality before God is washed away, never to be restored, never to be resurrected, and never to be cast up against us again. And we pray that we would understand, Lord, that this is the gospel, not according to works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his grace and his glory in Christ Jesus. He has saved us with the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, deliver us from pride. Deliver us from that religious arrogance that imagines that we are superior to others. Deliver us from that terrible misconception of ourselves that imagines that we are strong in the Lord when we may be among the weakest in the Lord. Deliver us from looking at the world with antagonism and contempt, and recognizing that there, but for the grace of God, go we also. And we would pray for the compassion of Christ as we see our neighbors and the multitudes of our fellow creatures, flesh and blood as we are, no worse, no better, no different. And we would see them as Christ saw the multitudes in his day, as crowds, hopelessly wandering sheep without a shepherd. And he was moved with compassion, and that we would pray to the Lord of the harvest so to send forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest is always plentiful. The laborers are always few. And we recognize that there are men in churches who should be in the ministry. They have a calling, and they have a task which they resist and which they leave to others. And we recognize, O Lord, that it is grace alone that can awaken any heart to the duties and obligations and the glorious activity of preaching the gospel. And we long for such men to be awakened and to be called and sent forth. We have so many things to pray about, O God. You know them all. We pray that we would do all things this morning for God's glory and the extension and defense of God's kingdom, and that God's will would be done upon the earth as it is done in heaven. This is our prayer, O God. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. We shall continue to read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, at verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spoke of him to all them that in Jerusalem looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it that you sought me not? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" And they understood not the things or the saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Well, we remind you of the intimations. There are not many things to tell you about. The evening service, of course, at 6 o'clock, and the Wednesday meeting at 7 o'clock. And the services next Lord's Day, God willing, 10:30 and 6 p.m. And you probably know that at the end of the month I retire from the ministry. And the Reverend Robin So of Newcastle Raymond Terrace will be the interim, what they call the interim moderator. That was the temporary minister of the congregation. And so you can take your troubles to Robin from February. We welcome visitors always, and with the offering will now be received. Psalm number 86, we continue from verse 8 to verse 13.
Oh.